Business now? Yeah. Huh? Can we do business now?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, Bible business. No junk mail. Praise God. And we thank God today for his mercies and for all that he has he has done for us. I was really touched with that scripture that Sister Millie used. Can you all hear me good? And was that in Revelations, the 20th chapter in Revelations 20. I thought that was a tremendous, awesome scripture in Revelations chapter 20. Let's start at verse 1, where it said, maybe turn the fan off a little bit, it bothered my eyes, make it watery a little bit. I hope you're not hot. Okay, in the Revelations chapter 20, and you can put it up on the board where I can read and see better, and we all read together in this church. You have your Bibles and you read, just don't let the pastor get all the blessing. But in the 20th chapter, you notice I'm standing up?
Yes.
All right. And I saw, and nobody prays, nobody said nothing. You know, you just all. And let's read now. And I saw an angel came down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he, the angel that came down from heaven, laid hand on the dragon. Now you know that the devil has many names. One of his names is deceiver. He lied to you and he deceived you and he caused you to miss God. Caused you to miss church. Caused you to stop reading the Bible. He deceived you and caused you to get discouraged and tell you something terrible is going to happen. Everything is against you. Nobody likes you. Oh, why do you go to church? Just stay home and read your Bible. You'll be better off. He lies, and you listen to that. Take a day off. You've been so faithful. It's about time you rest. You need a little rest. You deserve it. All kind of lie, pages after pages, that the devil talked to you. And what is he doing? Because he knows that there's a reward for you. There is a blessing for you, and he doesn't want you to have that. So his job is to, because he cannot have it, then he said, you're not going to have it. The devil is condemned, and you'll find out, and you heard it this morning, where he's going. But he doesn't want to go there alone. He wants to carry you. But you have to tell him, shut up. You have to shut him up. I mean, all those lies, and he deceived you, and he talked. He will even send neighbors over or send somebody. Just when it's church, they're not going to come with you to church, but they'll keep you out. They do everything to keep you out of church, but they're not coming. And most of the children of God listen to it, and they stay. Right? What's the favorite time for some of your relatives to visit you?
Church time.
Church time. And you can't bring them to church because very few of them will come. If they come one time, they're not come back again. But you've got to begin to pray now and says, what would Jesus do? when his mother, brothers, and all his sisters showed up at church time and sent a message that they were outside, he should come out. Mama was outside. And Jesus didn't go. Most of us would go. Jesus wouldn't stop the word of God, the message. But Jesus said, "Who is my mother?" You see, Jesus was in a different dimension. And you've got to get into a different dimension from your cousin.
Amen.
If you're in the same dimension, it's going to affect you. Are you listening now?
Amen.
If you got the same mind and the same dimension, it's going to affect you because you're going to feel that human contact or connection. But you've got to understand that you're closer to God and you're more related to the Lord than to any person on the earth. We had the scripture in Psalms 73. Read that scripture quickly. Psalm 73 and verse, and I'm coming back to Revelation, but Psalm 73, 25. Read that loud and clear, everybody. In Psalm 73, it was asking questions, right? Verse. Put that verse up. Verse 25. It says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" No, hold on. Hold on. If you get to that place where you can recognize that all that you have in heaven is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Stephen looked up and said, "I see the Lord standing on the right hand of power, the right hand of God."
Yes.
Now, the question is, if I ask you, and that doesn't take away anything from you, but you've got to, the closer you get to God is the more you will find yourself not connected to anybody.
Yes.
Amen. That's it. That's it. Somebody got it. "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" Most of us, if we were answering on that test and taking that test, we would get it wrong. We put, "I got my mama, I got my grandma, I got my cousin, and we would go down the line and we wouldn't even remember Jesus. He'd be the last one on the list. But the psalmist was not concerned or connected to any human being, but his mind was transformed into the image of God, and his affection was on heavenly things, in things in heaven. Then he answers his own question. Amen. "Whom have I in heaven? Only thee. Only thee." If you can get to that place where all I need is Jesus.
Amen.
All I need, all I want is you.
Amen.
Millie was saying this morning about hurts. We get hurts and let down when we're so closely connected to earthly environments.
Yes.
You understand? You feel everything in that. So if somebody quit serving God, we are affected. And they don't want to come to church. We don't want to come to church. But you've got to break that relationship where I love you, but I love the Lord more. Amen. We have a relation, even husband and wife, till death we part. So there's not permanent. That's just temporary because we're all going to die sooner or later. But there's a relationship that we have that can never come to an end. Amen. There's only one word that you can trust. "Lo, I will be with you always. Even unto the end of the earth or the age." So he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" And then someone said, "But that's heaven." But he looks to the earth and he looks around And he said, and there is none. No, come on. Come on. You know that close relationship where you can't even go to church because I'm so connected. Oh, I look around. If they're not in church, I can't praise the Lord. And so, no, you have to break that. You have to break those chains that are binding you and get out of that prison house. You've got to get to the place where it's only Jesus. And there is none. N-O-N-E. None. Nobody. Think of who you need upon the earth. You're right here now, right? You're right here. But there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Now that word desire is strong. Do you know that? Because desire, we have the wrong desire, we're in trouble. Desires will drive you. Amen. Desires can drive you to destruction. Desires can cause you to lose your job. Desire can tear up homes and families and lives. Okay? But when you begin to focus now at your desire and get your desires in the right place, where all you desire, yes. It's not that neighbor's house across town or their car or their jobs or you name it, fill in the blanks. You don't go around with that feelings in you that, oh, I wish that was mine. But what I desire, sister, brother, the only thing I desire from you is the God. Hallelujah. The Christ that is in you. Yay! Hallelujah. I only desire Jesus. Yay! Amen. Hallelujah. I desire the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell me something about this Jesus. Don't tell me about the furniture you bought and you keep spending time on the movie you saw and what's going on in the world and what march you was in. Amen. Who you voted for. Come on. Right. Don't bind yourself with things on the earth. Yeah. But set your affection. Do you know what that word? Strong word. Affection. Set it. David said, my heart is fixed on you. You know when something is fixed? It's not going to fall, pull apart. And it's fixed upon Jesus. And you get to where there's none that I desire. But a lot of us can't say that because that new movie come out and you can't come to church. You got to go see that movie first. Say amen, somebody. You're quiet. There's a strong desire in you. Amen. And you don't care why. You have to go see that. Or you have to go to that party. Or you got to go to something because it's so strong. In other words, the love for that thing in your heart is stronger than your love for Jesus. But the psalmist is saying that I want my love for Jesus to be stronger. I have a stronger desire for Jesus than that for anything that's upon the earth. I feel like preaching. You've got to begin to have that mind. And Paul brings it out in Philippians when he said, let this mind be in you. The Philippians 2. Paul began to get to that place where he had a revelation. And Paul did not want anything. He count them dumb. Oh, you didn't hear that? Too far. He began to count the things on the earth dumb that he might win Christ. And for you to begin to get to that place now, that's beautiful right there. Because you don't have to go to heaven before you begin to feel heaven on earth. And a lot of us, we have to wait until we get to heaven to enjoy heaven. But wherever Jesus is, and wherever your treasure is, and if Jesus be your treasure, that's all I desire on the earth. That's my treasure. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be. And like Psalms 84 said, my heart is inditing a good matter. It's bubbling over. Is it? And here's a Psalms 45, what is 84. Where your heart was bubbling up. When you have Jesus, like these young lady was singing, and Millie was testifying, and when the band was playing, something was bubbling up because you couldn't wait, as my wife said, to come to church. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's a feeling where you're glad. Hallelujah. You're glad when they say unto you, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's a gladness about it. There's a joy about it. You can't wait for the next service. And Psalms 84 verse 1. And verse 2 says,
My soul longeth.
My soul longeth.
Yea.
Even oh my, you're not getting this. You know when somebody longing, and do you understand what it means to faint? When Jacob heard that Joseph was alive in Egypt, he fainted. He did.
Thirsty.
Give me some more word.
Hungry.
He fainted. My soul longed. Yea. If you don't give it to me, if I can't feel God, if I don't have God in my life, if I'm not feeling that touch, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to faint. Come on, pastor. Come on, church. Yes. If I'm not getting the word, if you're not hearing about Jesus, yes, if you're up there giving me things that's not after God, I'm going to faint. I can't wait. Yes. I want Jesus. I desire Jesus. My soul. Longing. You don't understand it long. When you can't wait to see somebody. Or to get something. I'm just using that to show you. But now, you can't wait to see the Lord. You're hungry for the return of Jesus. There is none that I desire upon the earth beside thee. And the Psalms, I know I'm going back and forth. My soul longeth, yea. Even fainted for the courts. Woo! The courts
of the Lord.
I want to be in his presence. My heart. Are you listening now? Both. My heart. And my flesh. Cry it out. For who? For the living God. I mean, that's the place we need to get to. We have to get to that place. And we need a church. We need a message. We need a word to begin to stir us until we get to where our hearts are so stirred. That's all we need and want is the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. My heart and my flesh. No, notice the flesh. Because a lot of us, our flesh is crying out for a lot more things than God. But the psalmist brought that human spirit in such a relationship with God that his flesh begin to cry out. And another psalm says, has the heart panted after the water brooks? So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God.
Psalms 38.
I'm going all over. But are you getting it?
Yes.
An heart is that little mountain deer that just panting for that brook, that refreshing brook. That's where you've got to get to, where your heart begins to pant and you're thirsty for the living God. There's nothing that you desire in the earth more than God. You want God. I love God. You let me tell you something. You live for God. When you wake up, it's for God. You go to bed. Whatever you do, it's for God. Yes. You want him. Where am I? My soul longeth. Is that where? Yea, even fainted. For church. You know, the courts of the Lord. You know what that is? It's church. So, listen, let me break it down for you. Your soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. That means you're going to do everything in your power to keep the church open, alive, and awake. Because without it, you're going to faint. If you ever come one day and find out that this church wasn't here, you pass out. So you're making sure now that you're going to keep that church open and alive. So you won't faint. You get to the place where you can't wait to be in his presence. You cannot wait to hear the songs of Zion. Amen. You cannot hear for someone to quote those scripture and tell me the good old story again. Hallelujah. Tell me his name again. What did you say his name was?
Jesus.
A name that you never get tired of. That name. The psalmist said, Songs of Solomon said, his name is as ointment. Poured forth. Therefore the virgins, the church, love him. When you begin to feel that anointing and that presence of God, there's a love that begin to spring up. And there's none upon the earth that you desire. You know, like Mary, she desired him to sit at his feet more than the spices in the kitchen. Somebody say, but you must eat. Yes, you must eat. Yes, you go to work. But in everything that you do, Christ is in it. Jesus occupy all of you. You say, but how could that be? Just like the first Adam occupy all of you. You turn it over to him. Surrender to him. And he occupies everything. He said, how do I do that? Just surrender. He'll do it. Just give it to him. And he'll fix it. You're trying to fix your life. No. Give it to him. Surrender the broken pieces. Someone said, I have my free will to come to the Lord. Yes. But what do you do when you come? What do you do when you come? Huh? Because you and I cannot fix our lives. It's not in man that walketh to direct his step. We cannot fix our life where it's acceptable to the Lord. That's why somebody said, I have a few problems. I'm staying home until I work it out. You never work it out. Because when we fix it, Is that the way the Lord wanted? No. When you give him your free will, listen, I give my free will to you, but are you giving him completed fix that he accepted, or does he have to break it all over and fix it his way? Huh? Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. My thoughts are not God's thoughts. All right? So when I need his thoughts so I can only desire the things, okay, that he has for me. Desire him.
Yes. Amen.
How could I? Everything is in Jesus. My heart and my flesh cry it out for the living God. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you're there and suddenly you feel like you want to pray. And I heard it said, turn that television off or sleep in your bedroom and get on your knees. You ever feel that? And you resist it. You resist it. You get busy and do something else. But when you hear that little voice speaking to you, sometimes it's a still, small voice telling you to get in your closet. Not your close closet necessarily, but just pull back from the world and get to having a relationship with him. He wants to talk with you. Okay, and where am I?
My soul longeth.
I had that. And it's fainted.
Notice
this is powerful. Look at David, or the psalmist rather, is observing everything. He looked around and said, yay. Are you notice how church is important. Yay. The sparrow had found a house. He seen, looked through his window, and that little sparrow getting a straw and back and forth and build a house. You following? And it builds a house. He said, yay. The sparrow had found a house. He's got a house over there in the tree. Then he looked again, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. But notice here, David was in a nice palace. Okay, the most beautiful house. But that was not his rest. Earthly, material things could not provide or satisfy the desires of his heart. He had no comfort in earthly things. And they said, the sparrow, look how they've already home. They're comfort, they've reached it. That the swallow, that a nest that she may lay. Her young, start a family. Where she may lay her young. But he think now, what have I found? He look around and say, this house is not my rest. How many know that?
Amen.
This world is not your home.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening now?
Yes.
Huh? Are you listening?
Yes.
There is a rest remains for the children of God. And we've got to enter into that rest.
Yeah.
And David was seeking for the rest for his soul.
Yeah.
And he said, the sparrows and the swallows found their rest. But I need my rest. I need to find my rest. I didn't find it in houses of cedars. And then he thought, an altar. The altar. In our case today, the altar is Christ. That's why those souls were under the altar. That's where your soul is seeking. The altar. Revelation 6. The altar. If you don't find the altar, you will be restless. But it goes on, it says, even thine altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. That's where my soul want to be. The altar. The presence of God. To be with you. In other words, when you find that altar, you're home. You're home. You say, but I'm traveling. As long as you're still traveling, you're not home yet. But the Bible says we've come. Does come mean arrive? We've come, help me, to Mount Zion. You've arrived. You're not just traveling right now, but you are arrived and you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even as the sparrow found that nest and the swallow. Now, a nest. Now my soul has found the altar. The soul has no rest but the altar of God. Even that altar. I notice here now. Now, this is a building, right? This is a building. And we occupy it and we say the house of God. Fine. But you and I, we are the house of God. And that's why it's important. We are the house of God. And Jesus dwells in us because you are the temple of the living God. The temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't understand who you are. And there's a temple on the inside of you. In there. Not just these buildings. We just keep rain and sun off of our head. But tomorrow this could be a shoe store. And it would make a difference to God. Do you understand that? Because if you wasn't here, God would not show up. It's because you're here. The temple, the dwelling place of God. Because this is where God lives in you, the praises. When you offer praises, you glorify God. Hallelujah. You're glorifying God. So it goes on. Give me back verse 3. He said, all right, verse 3. Even that altar, O Lord of hosts, my King. Verse 4, and my God. My King and my God. Do you understand where you find? You find your King. And you find your God. Your soul finds your King and your God. Now, Revelation 20 says, and I saw souls. My God. That were beheaded for the word of God and for the testimony. And they sat on thrones. You can read it for yourself. Time is against me. And they love not their lives unto death. They give it all up for Jesus. It means something to serve God. It means something to dedicate your life. It means something to thirst after God. See, the church is not created to beg money. Oh, you receive an offering. You have bills and light. That's God knows that. That's why it's the tithe and offering and give willing, free will and liberal soul make fast. God make provision. But God doesn't play gimmicks. God doesn't. God's not in the gambling or the lotto. You give this, you get that. You put $100 on and play and see what turnover. God doesn't do that. When God bless you, he bless you with other motives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I mean, that little widow woman didn't have anything, but One last meal that was not even enough for them. But look at what God did.
Yes.
God blessed his obedience.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God blesses you when you have Lady Liberty. You know what Lady Liberty is? Not New York. Not that. Lady Liberty in Proverbs. You know that lady? That woman in Proverbs 30, 31? Lady Liberty. What does she have? She have in her mouth is the law of kindness. That's the law of liberty. That's the perfect law that you look into, the law of liberty. That's what Lady Liberty have. The church. And in her mouth is the law of kindness. You build a church like that and you find you never have to beg for an offering. She helped open her mouth
with wisdom.
And in her tongue
is the law of kindness.
A law. Oh my God, I can't wait to go. I'm going to preach. I'm going to have a series in the future in the perfect law of liberty. And I'm going to show you why Rahab got away with lying. And God blessed her. Put her in the family. Oh, you don't understand how God works. I'll show you where God told Abraham to go kill his son, and yet it was not murder. You keep coming to church. This Bible is wonderful. Lady Liberty has the law of kindness in her mouth. When you got a church and you got to keep begging and pull them one way and all of that, sir. No. And make promises and say we're going to. No. But when they get to where they have the law of kindness in their mouth. Somebody shout. They don't say it and don't do it. They don't promise something and don't keep their promise. Are you in church with me still? Give me a few more minutes. But the law of kindness, if our convention coming up and we begin to manifest the law of kindness, we'd see a face lift on this church. You'd be surprised to know what you'll do. Flowers would look good. Even the flowers would be smiling at you. You don't want to pass out there and the flower in the head because they're ashamed of you. Hold the head down. And the leaves won't shake your hands. They fall off, quail up. And you come inside here and it. What's going on? Everything looks so dead because you don't have the law of kindness. You don't go over there and just brush the wall up and say, come on, I know you're tired of looking this way. I'm going to give you a facelift. You look at the carpet and say, my God, I want to, woo. In, out. You've been here a long time. You've been in here a long time. Now it's time to get out of here. In and out. And you look around and some things need to go. And some things need to stay.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard about replacement?
Yeah.
You can replace a frown with a smile.
Yeah.
You can replace ashes with beauty.
Yeah.
And that's what God does. He gives us beauty for ashes.
Yeah.
And glory for all our shame.
Yeah.
And you begin to let the beauty. My, I feel like preaching.
Hey,
you begin to let the beauty of Jesus begin to show. And the glory of God begin to show, and you'll find out what will happen to you. Amen. Come on, somebody. You let that glory and that beauty of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And this is your church. This is your church. And you give it a facelift. I mean, look around and the carpet's got wrinkles. What do you do when you got wrinkles in your face? You give a facelift and you stretch it. And you make it look good. The carpet needs a facelift. And what do you do if you wake up and you got cracks in your face? Like the walkway. Cracks and... my goodness. That's right, Danny. Praise God. And somebody going to come alive. The church going to come alive and say, look, we're not satisfied. You're going to say, look to the walkway. You serve us long and we appreciate it, but it's time for you to go. Your replacement is here. And you'll be surprised to know in no time how this little church can make this place look alive. But if you go around, nobody see nothing, nobody do nothing. Because everybody's so special, specially lazy, and specially blind. But if you get your eyes open, and if you come alive, and if you love God and make up in your mind that I've got the law of kindness in my mouth, I'm going to do something for God. Now let me begin to wind it down. Where am I? So, there's so many scriptures out there. Psalms 42. Go, give me that quickly in closing. Go 42 in quickly, it says. One. Yes. Psalms 42:1. Let me close. Begin to close. Well, I wish I had more time, but let me begin to close. Verse 1. Read. As the heart. No, you compare yourself. Compare. You got to compare yourself and have an example. And if you can't find a brother or a sister, go look for a cow. It's true. Go look for a dog. Go look for an animal that's faithful. You know some animals is more faithful than human. He couldn't find a person that was hungry for God, but he found an animal. He saw an animal, got thirsty, real thirsty for water. And he said, that's my example of getting thirsty and searching for God. You say, oh no, he didn't do that. Yes, he did. Yeah. You wanna get an example? Jesus gave Peter an example. He said, a cock won't crow so many times before you deny me. It works. Right. Eh? And you want another faithful example? Them dogs bark. Hound dog. Barking like a hound dog. They're faithful. And they, I could shut that dog up. But the dog keep hounding. And when your soul, that's the way you ought to be. Something inside of your soul that won't make you stop. You're thirsty for God. As the heart panted. That's what happened to the Corinthians. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And Paul didn't worry. I mean, a young boy fell through the window. They're still at church. We would be thinking about funeral. Do you understand? When you get in love with Jesus and get thirsty for God, change everything about the church. Amen. And we have nothing to give the folks that's coming, but if we could give them Jesus, more of Jesus. If they could come here, not that they don't have Jesus, but if they could come here and find Jesus, that's a praise the Lord, we're in the right place. Instead of coming and say, what a dead old church that is. Oh my, I wish somebody would do something. Somebody would get on fire. Holy Ghost fire. That's what Jeremiah felt. He wasn't going to do anything about it, but he felt the fire. That's the fire of God shut up in his bones. So in closing, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so you see your soul now out of prison. Want to get out of prison. Want God, want the living God. My heart, my flesh cried out for the living God. So panted my soul after thee, O God, O God, O God. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. He that hungereth, thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Verse 2 says, look at that. Somebody read it loud and shout. My soul thirsteth for God. Oh, somebody shout. Somebody shout. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. And look at that. Look at that. All the desire is not when I'm going to retire and get my pension. That's okay if you want to. And that's a, but it's when. Oh, when. How long? When shall I come and appear before him? Do you get that now? Come on, church. When shall I come and appear before him? My God, we are church, eh? That's church. I said, come on, that's church. And when you get to where you tell the devil to shut up and bind him right now, and say, you're not going to stop me from serving God, but I'm going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And God said, you'll be filled. My soul thirsted, next verse. My soul thirsted for God. Verse 3. Is it? Then it goes on, my tears have been my meat day and night. That means, you know what that means? You would not like to see him. You would not like to see him. It's okay. We have prayer meeting and we drink some coffee. That's fine. Don't change it. Don't make mine so strong. That's all. But we have coffee, right? And so I'm not saying to, but it's a lesson I'm giving you right now. But the psalmist, he said, my tears have been my meat day and night. Now, and I want to, you know, you're smart people. But when a person cry a long time, what happened? The overflow gets where? Come on. In your mouth. Yeah. And all from your nose begin to run down in your mouth. And you know. Now you're looking all pretty out there. You get a sad news and you cry and you can't stop and the tears just come easy. And before you get the paper, it's all in your mouth. And you begin to lick your tongue. But that became his meat, day and night. We need to get to those places. While they continually say, look what they're doing. They're mocking us. They're talking about us. And where is your God? Where is your God? That's why they say, where is thy God? I don't see him. Ah, you're just going to church in vain. They don't know like you know. Come on, help me. They don't know like you know. When I remember these things, hallelujah. I wish I had a church that could shout. The problem is we leave church and we forget. But when I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. You see, the soul is in you. So you know where it's at. Inside of you. Your soul is on the inside of you. The hidden man of your heart. You can't see it. The new man. Your soul and your spirit. Really, only the word of God can explain that. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God. I went with church. With the joy, with the voice of joy and praise. That's why, you know, praise God and joy and praise. He says, with a multitude that kept church day, holy day. That's what we're doing right now, with a multitude that kept holy day. Every day, holy day. Why? Now, come on, he's talking to you. You got to get to in your closet. This is the closet relationship now. He's not on the phone. I'm talking, oh, I'm so discouraged. I'm so down. Get off of that. Get off of that. Come on.
Amen.
Get on the mountain of praise and joy.
Hallelujah.
You're on the wrong mountain. Why art thou cast down, on my soul? Oh, my soul, come on, talk to yourself. Talk to your soul before God. And why are thou disquieted in me? You're not praising God. You're not going to. You're dead. You're cold. You're not panting. You're not hungry for God. Hope. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God. Come on. Oh my God. Now you're talking to God now. You talk to your soul, talk to God. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. You talk to your soul, but your soul can't help itself. You got to talk to the higher power, which is God. You getting it now? You know, my soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieting me? No answer. Until, oh my God, I look to the hills.
Yes,
my soul is cast down. Tell him about it.
Yes.
Within me. Therefore, will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. And of the Ermonites from the hill Mizar. Do you get, you understand that? And what happened now? Your deep soul, which is in deep distress, it came, Adam was a lamb and made a living soul. It cast down. But now, what happened? It's looking to another deep. So your deep soul in deep distress, iron clay, you're calling out now. Deep. Call it unto deep. God, who is deep, knowledge and wisdom and victory. Are you getting it now? You're in deep distress, but he's so filled with mercy and grace. So you call to him at the noise of the water spout. All thy billows are gone over me. Yeah, the Lord will command, let me go on, is loving kindness when? Do you see the turn? When you begin to look to God instead of men? And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayers unto God of my life. Your soul, your life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Here, you know, we go again. He don't forget you. It's you. It's you. He's never one time forget you. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Because you need to call on God. That's why you're cast down. That's why you're in that condition. It's not because God has left you. Stop blaming God. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? See, that's when you begin to stray far from God and you get in trouble. Amen? But he says, Psalms 23, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. So Fear no evil. Why art thou cast down? Do you understand? You see how God is patient and loving? And hear us cry and complain, and every morning we just come on. You get up in the morning and you start complaining. You're mean, you're grouchy. You sit on a hedge. Are you ready to spring off? Calm down. Control your spirit. You know, you're getting out of the horror closet. Stop that. Calm down. Look at that. Why art thou cast down? And I'm not knocking husband and wife. How would you like to have a husband like that? Our wife. Complaining, complaining, complaining. That's what I'm doing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Keep repeating, And me. One time he's on the mountain, then they're down the valley. Hope thou in God. See, that's what you need to do. Get to it. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet pray. That's what you ought to do. Get out of prison. Open God. Stop complaining. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. All right now. You're putting on, and everybody use makeup, and that's all right. You're putting on some makeup and you're trying to look all good, and eyes and eyelash and everything all looking on and so on, and you look all that. And oh, look at my countenance. Come on now. But it's going to fall down. You put it here, but it fall down. But notice here, the real beauty parlor is when God make you up and fix you up. He said, he's the health of my countenance. But you get in that beauty parlor by hope and praise. You start to praise him, give him glory, and you'll see what happened. Everybody's going to know that you've been with Jesus. Amen. And amen. Amen.